microscope. Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Imagine a gene so famous for its role in adult breast cancer that its name, it regularly makes international headlines.
Right, it's incredibly well known.
Yeah, but now imagine what happens when a baby is born missing that exact same gene entirely. The result isn't breast cancer. It is, well, it's a catastrophic, almost explosive vulnerability in the developing brain, leading to these really devastating childhood brain tumors, specifically one called medulloblastoma.
Yeah, it's a completely different outcome.
Exactly. And it sparks this immediate, massive question, like, how does a gene famous for repairing breast tissue DNA become the absolute linchpin for healthy brain development? And, you know, what hidden microscopic knots residing deep inside our DNA are secretly threatening to derail this entire process?
It really forces us to look at the genome not just as a sequence of chemical letters, but as this treacherous three-dimensional physical landscape. A landscape where the speed of cellular growth just violently collides with the actual architecture of our DNA.
Yeah, and to really understand how this microscopic clash creates such a severe clinical outcome, we are diving into some genuinely brilliant science today. Today, we celebrate the work of a research team centered at Rockefeller University, including Danielle Keohy, Mary Hatton, and Agata Smogorzewska, who have advanced our understanding of the cellular vulnerabilities that drive BRCA2-deficient medulloblastoma.
This is just such a critical area of study because, you know, we are examining a very severe, very rare clinical condition known as Fanconi Anemia Complementation Group D1.
Let's call it FAD1 for short.
Yeah, FAD1 works. So this condition occurs when a patient has biallelic pathogenic variants in the BRCA2 gene, meaning both copies of the gene they inherited, one from each parent, are mutated and fundamentally dysfunctional from day one.
And the reality for children with FAD1 is just incredibly harsh. They are highly prone to early age embryonal tumors. Specifically, they frequently develop what's known as the sonic hedgehog, or SHH, subgroup of medulloblastoma.
Right, and medulloblastoma is this highly aggressive cancer that arises in the cerebellum, which is the part of the brain at the lower back of the skull. It's responsible for coordinating movement, balance, and complex motor learning.
Okay, let's unpack this. To figure out why these specific tumors form, the research team had to look very closely at the cell of origin, right?
They did. These are the cerebellar granule cell progenitors, commonly referred to as GCPs.
So imagine these GCPs as a massive cellular factory operating at like 500% capacity. In the early postnatal period, right after birth, these progenitor cells receive a molecular signal wonderfully named sonic hedgehog.
Such a great name.
Right. But this signal essentially throws the factory machinery into total overdrive. It tells the cells to proliferate explosively. They are dividing so fast, trying to become the most numerous population of neurons in the entire human brain. Now, when you are building a massive structure at that kind of hyperspeed, any disruption on the assembly line is disastrous.
And that factory analogy holds up perfectly when we look at the molecular level. Because these cells are dividing so rapidly, their DNA replication machinery, the equipment copying the genetic code so the cell can actually divide, is under immense physical stress.
Which brings us to what the BRCA2 protein actually does on that assembly line.
Exactly. Its job is twofold. First, it promotes homology-directed repair of DNA double-strand breaks. So if the DNA track literally snaps in half, BRCA2 brings in the heavy machinery to fix it cleanly using a matching template.
Okay, so if the DNA is the track and the replication machinery unzipping it is the train moving down that track, BRCA2 is basically the emergency response crew fixing broken rails. But you mentioned a second job.
Yeah, the second job is critical for our deep dive today. BRCA2 protects stalled replication forks.
Stalled, like it just stops.
Yeah, if that speeding train hits a bump and stalls, the cellular environment is actually quite hostile. There are cellular enzymes called nucleases that will just start chewing up and degrading the exposed stalled DNA.
Oh, wow. So the cell attacks its own DNA.
Essentially, yes. So BRCA2 acts as a physical security detail, shielding the fragile machinery and the exposed DNA until the obstacle is cleared and the train can get moving again.
Which naturally leads to the central question of this entire study. If BRCA2 is the security detail, what exactly are the obstacles on the track? Like, what specific natural roadblocks in these rapidly dividing GCPs require BRCA2 to manage the crisis? And why does lacking it lead to medulloblastoma?
Investigating that is incredibly difficult. You obviously cannot just, you know, peer into a living human infant's brain with a microscope to watch their DNA replicate in real time.
Right. Right. So if we know the factory is prone to breaking down, how did the researchers actually prove the mechanics of this in a lab?
Well, the team developed a highly sophisticated genetic mouse model. They genetically engineered mice to have a conditional deletion of exons 3 and 4 of the BRCA2 gene. And to make sure they were only studying the brain, they used a specific promoter called HGFAP to drive this deletion.
Wait, let's translate that for a second. Deleting specific exons, using a promoter essentially, they engineered a molecular switch so that the BRCA2 gene is only turned off in the central nervous system, leaving the rest of the mouse's body functioning normally.
Exactly.
But what does deleting exons 3 and 4 actually do to the protein itself?
It chops off a critical part of the BRCA2 protein, known as the PALB2 binding domain. Without this domain, BRCA2 cannot recruit the other repair proteins it needs to fix the DNA track or shield the train. So the protein is essentially disarmed.
But hold on, I'm stuck on the biology here. If BRCA2 is so essential for DNA repair and protection, wouldn't losing it just cause these rapid dividing brain cells to die immediately? Like, if the factory assembly line is completely broken and trains are crashing left and right, shouldn't the factory just shut down entirely instead of forming a massive growing tumor?
That is the exact paradox the researchers faced, and it's why they had to introduce a second major modification to their mouse model. They coupled this nervous system BRCA2 mutation with a global knockout of the TRP53 gene, which encodes the famous P53 protein.
Ah, P53, the ultimate tumor suppressor. It acts as the cell's apoptosis alarm, right? The trigger for programmed cell death.
Correct. Normally, if a cell accumulates too much DNA damage, P53 triggers the cell to safely self-destruct to protect the rest of the organism. By knocking out P53, the researchers disable the factory's fire alarm.
So they just keep going.
Right, the cells are now allowed to survive, despite harboring severe catastrophic genomic instability. They just keep dividing, accumulating mutation after mutation, which eventually allows them to transform into full-blown medulloblastomas.
Okay, so they have this mouse model that reliably forms these brain tumors by disabling both the repair crew and the fire alarm. What tools did they use to peer inside these tumors once they formed?
They employed whole genome sequencing on the DNA extracted from the mouse tumors, comparing it to healthy, non-tumor brain tissue. They also brought in a human element.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they sequenced a human primary cell line named HMB1, which was derived from a pediatric FAD1 patient with medulloblastoma. This ensures their mouse findings truly translate to human biology. But to actually watch the trains moving on the tracks, they use a visually striking technique called DNA combing.
DNA combing. It sounds like someone taking a microscopic brush to the genome. How do you measure a replication fork without starving it?
You measure it by feeding it glowing building blocks. The researchers give the dividing cells sequential pulses of two different fluorescent nucleotide analogs. First, they pulse a chemical called IDU that glows green. Then a few minutes later, they pulse a chemical called CLDU that glows red.
So the newly built DNA is literally painted green, then red as the train moves down the track.
Precisely. Then comes the combing. They burst the cells open and literally drag, or comb, the DNA fibers out onto a specially treated glass slide. The DNA stretches out into these long, straight, measurable lines.
Wow.
And under a powerful microscope, researchers can measure the exact lengths of those red and green fluorescent tracks.
Okay, so a longer track means the replication fork was racing along uninterrupted. And a shorter or asymmetrical track means it was moving slowly, stalling, or crashing completely. It's basically a direct physical radar gun for DNA replication.
It gives a single molecule resolution of replication stress.
Yeah.
And the data from all these tools was just staggering. First off, the genetic model was incredibly potent. The mutant mice developed medulloblastomas with 100% penetrance.
Wait, all of them?
Every single mouse, with both the BRCA2 deletion and the P53 knockout, developed a tumor.
That is wild. And when they looked at the RNA sequencing, which tells us which genes are actively turned on or off, the mouse tumors closely mirrored human SHH subgroup medulloblastomas. They also noticed the tumor's overall gene expression tightly matched the profile of highly proliferating 7-day-old GCPs.
Yeah, it's almost like the cells got permanently stuck in that hyperspeed factory mode and just aggressively refused to mature into normal neurons.
The question then became, what was driving the massive DNA damage in that hyperspeed mode? Which brings us to the core discovery of this deep dive. G-quadruplexes, or G4s,
right?
The microscopic knots. Now, if you're listening to this and wondering, why would the cell purposefully make DNA sequences that tie themselves into knots? That is the wild part. They aren't mistakes.
No, they aren't. They're structural realities of the genome. We usually picture DNA as a smooth, uniform double helix. But guanine, one of the four chemical letters of DNA, has a really unique property.
What does it do?
In regions of the genome that are very dense with guanine, the single strand of DNA can fold back on itself. The guanines bond to each other, forming a dense, stacked, four-stranded physical knot. These secondary structures are natural, possibly playing roles in regulating gene expression. But they are notoriously difficult for the replication machinery to read through.
Going back to our train analogy, a G4 knot isn't just a pebble on the tracks. It is a giant structural tangle built into the rails. The fast-moving replication machinery hits it and violently grinds to a halt.
And the whole genome sequencing of the mouse tumors revealed where these crashes were happening. Every single tumor had large structural variants, like massive deletions and translocations, in a specific gene called PUCH1.
PUCH1. That is the gene that normally acts as the brakes for the Sonic Hedgehog pathway. If a cell loses PUCH1, the growth signal gets stuck in the on position, driving endless cellular proliferation. But what does that have to do with the knots?
The architecture of the PUCH1 gene itself is the key. It is highly dense with predicted G4 forming sequences. It is an absolute minefield of these microscopic knots.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It wasn't just happening in the PUCH1 gene. The researchers ran a genome-wide statistical analysis. They mapped out the structural variant breakpoints, the exact spots where the DNA snapped, broke, and rearranged itself across the entire genome.
And what did they find?
They found that in both the mouse tumors and the human HMB1 cell line, these breakage points significantly overlapped with the locations of predicted G quadruplexes.
Yeah, they use computational tools like PQS Finder, which scans the genomic sequence for these knot-forming patterns, alongside actual experimental datasets. The correlation was undeniable. The DNA wasn't shattering randomly, it was shattering specifically at these G4 knots.
And the DNA combing experiments proved these knots were causing physical traffic jams in real time. Normal, healthy GCP stimulated by Sonic Hedgehog reach incredibly fast replication speeds, around 2.3 kilobases per minute. The researchers actually noted this is among the highest replication velocities ever recorded in mammalian cells. The neuronal assembly line is practically flying.
But in the BRCA2 deficient GCPs, the average replication speed dropped significantly to 1.7 kilobases per minute. Without BRCA2 to guard the trains when they hit the knots, the overall replication process just bogs down.
They pushed this even further with a brilliant intervention. They introduced a chemical called pyridostatin, or PDS. PDS is a drug that specifically binds to G quadruplexes and stabilizes them. It acts like molecular superglue, locking the knots into place so the cell cannot untangle them naturally.
Right, and when they applied PDS to the cells, the replication crashed sharply. The BRCA2 deficient GCPs simply couldn't handle the locked knots without their security guard.
So they just shut down.
The cells underwent massive cell death. This conclusively proved that these highly proliferative brain cells are intrinsically vulnerable to G4 knots. And without BRCA2, those knots become lethal roadblocks.
This brings up a massive logical hurdle, though. If these tumor cells are so inherently vulnerable to G4 knots without BRCA2, and if hitting these knots causes their DNA to literally shatter, how do they manage to survive and proliferate at all?
Right, how do they form a massive tumor if their replication forks keep collapsing?
Exactly.
That is the pivotal transition in the study, revealing a fascinating cellular adaptation. The researchers discovered that to survive this constant crushing stress, the tumor cells actively alter their own gene expression. They significantly upregulate a specific gene that produces a protein called PIF1.
PIF1, what does that do differently than BRCA2? Is it built specifically for these knots?
PIF1 is a specialized DNA helicase. Helicases are basically molecular motors that unzip DNA. PIF1 in particular is an evolutionary specialist. It is incredibly adept at plowing through and actively untangling G quadruplexes, as well as other complex secondary structures like RNA-DNA hybrids. The deep dive shows that PIF1 expression spikes precisely at the developmental time frame when the tumors begin to form in the mice.
So the cancer cells are suffocating on their own DNA knots because they lack the BRCA2 security detail. To keep the factory running, they hijack a normal stress pathway and flood the tracks with PIF1, essentially deploying an emergency molecular snowplow to force the trains through the knots.
What's fascinating here is how the researchers definitively proved this dependency. They used CRISPR gene editing technology to knock out the PIF1 helicase directly in the primary medulloblastoma tumor cells derived from the mice.
Oh, wow.
And to rule out any off-target effects from the CRISPR editing, they even complemented the cells with the modified PIF1 that was resistant to the CRISPR cut. The effect was entirely dependent on losing PIF1.
they expertly took away the cancer's backup snowplow. What happened to the cells?
The replication speed in these tumor cells slowed down dramatically. More importantly, the cells started developing highly abnormal nuclei and micronuclei.
Let's clarify micronuclei for a second. If a normal cell has one central nucleus holding all the DNA, micronuclei are like tiny extra fragments of a nucleus floating outside the main one, right?
Yes, they are classic glaring visual markers of severe genomic instability. Without PIF1 acting as the snowplow, the replication forks crashed so hard into the G4 knots that the DNA shattered, and fragments of entire chromosomes were left floating adrift in the cellular fluid.
This feels like a massive flashing neon sign pointing toward a brand new treatment paradigm. We are talking about synthetic lethality, aren't we?
We absolutely are. Synthetic lethality is an elegant therapeutic concept. It relies on the idea that while a single genetic mutation might not kill a cell, a specific combination of two mutations is lethal. Because normal, healthy brain tissue, including the mature cerebellum, does not express the PIF1 helicase at high levels. PIF1 represents a highly specific, targetable vulnerability solely for the tumor.
Meaning, if researchers could develop a drug that chemically inhibits or blocks the PIF1 helicase, we could selectively crash the replication machinery of the BRCA2 deficient tumor cells. The cancer cells would die because they can't untangle the knots without their hijacked snowplow.
Exactly.
But the healthy brain cells would be perfectly fine because they have normal BRCA2 and aren't relying on PIF1 in the first place.
It provides a brilliant therapeutic strategy. We're talking about interventions that could potentially spare the developing brain from the incredibly toxic, widespread, and long-lasting side effects of traditional chemotherapy and radiation, which, you know, essentially just attack any cell in the body that happens to be dividing. However, the researchers are careful to note the limitations of our current understanding.
We still don't know the precise choreography of BRCA2 at the molecular level, do we?
We don't. Is BRCA2 sitting right at the stalled replication fork, merely acting as a physical shield, while another enzyme untangles the knot? Or is the fork collapsing entirely, and BRCA2 is swooping in after the fact to stitch the broken ends back together using homologous recombination? The exact mechanism of action is still an active area of investigation.
I also imagine G quadruplets aren't the only structural hazards built into the genome's tracks.
They certainly aren't. Future research will need to investigate other naturally occurring replication blockers. For example, R-loops.
What are those?
These are complex RNA-DNA structures that form during active gene transcription when an RNA strand temporarily hybridizes with a DNA strand, displacing the other DNA strand. They are massive physical barriers. Additionally, the incredibly fast metabolism of these rapidly dividing progenitor cells naturally produces reactive aldehydes.
Aldehydes? Like the toxic chemical byproducts?
Similar to formaldehyde, yes. They are natural metabolic byproducts, but they can cross-link the DNA, essentially gluing the two strands together and forming physical barriers for the replication fork. Do these aldehydes also contribute to the vulnerability of the GCPs? It is a critical next step for the field to unravel the full landscape of threats these cells face.
Ultimately, this deep dive reveals that the massive, rapid cell division required to build the brain makes it incredibly vulnerable to physical knots in the DNA known as G quadruplexes. BRCA2 acts as a crucial guardian to help replication forks navigate these intricate molecular tangles, and without it, cells hijack the PIF1 helicase to survive and form devastating tumors. What does this mean for other rapidly dividing tissues in the human body or other embryonal cancers that might be secretly relying on G quadruplex untanglers to survive?
It's a profound question. It demonstrates that our macroscopic development is entirely tethered to microscopic structural hazards. A tiny knot in a single strand of DNA can dictate the fate of the entire human brain.
It changes how you visualize biology entirely. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.
Microscopes, a midnight glow, young cells running like a high-speed show, but in the strands, little knots appear, and every mile gets steeper here. When BRCA2, let's go, the lanes turn tight, folks slow down in the white heart light, a twist, a pause, a crack in the track, and the map can't take it back. G quadruplex.